Chapter 16. A Interesting Morning. The next morning they raised the back of town, their minds still full of what they had been through the past 24 hours. One by one they bummeled down the stair into the kitchen where Robbie and Kirsty's mother was making meat for them. She beamed at them as they sat at the table, and the three of them could speak of nothing either as the tunnel, the mine, the kist, or George nearly getting catched by the mine, the boat trap there, the police, the poem, Archie Hunter, and of course, the treasure. It was the first time any of them was seen yon amount of gold and silver. They could still hardly believe it. Then, as if he was just had a dump on his head, Robbie looked up at his mother. "What about the boat?" he asked, the worry clear upon his face. He couldn't believe that, even with all the commotion, he was forgotten about his pride and joy. "Never do leet, Robbie," his mother said. "Thy feyther is awa' een oot a retriever wi' een of the coastguard men. She's no been forgotten about." Robbie let out a sigh of relief. With the bacon and eggs out of the way, a policeman and some in other, they didn't again pick it up at the door. They came in through and set them in the kitchen. The policeman wanted to get a statement for them about athing they were seen and heard. Athing they could tell about the twa men. They said they were wanted for a lot of things they were done, both in Shetland and South. After the bairns was doing their best to tell the whole story, the other man introduced himself as being for the Shetland Museum. He told them his understanding of what was happened after the Intrepid was lost. "Will, bairns, you kind the story up to the point that your relation, Archie Hunter, and the laird Tullied, or whatever it was that Archie was managed to salvage for the wreck?" Say, Archie agreed to hand it back, but he didn't make it easy for the laird. He certainly gied it to him, he patted upon his land, but hoided it away in the tunnel. Archie was learning about the tunnel for his grandfather for the days of smuggling. Now this is where the story takes a bit of a twist. Archie Hunter's boat was found upside down the next day. That is the day after he was gained to the Doe's Cave. There were no sign of his body. In fact, it was never found. It was talked by Abbey at the time that the laird was doing away with him because of the feud that was going on between them. But it turns out that the laird wasn't even there that night and only found out about Archie's death the next morning. Abbey in the room gave a gasp, and Robbie and Kirsty's mother shook her head slowly from side to side. "See, if the laird didn't kill him, what or why did?" George asked. "Will," the museum man said, "the only real explanation is that Archie just fell over the side. He maybe lost the oar and was trying to get it back, or stood up and just cumbled overboard, but whatever happened, the laird got the blame for it." "Gee whiz," Robbie said, taking it in. "Say, how come this Carl and Malcolm find out about the treasure?" "I was just winning that bit now, Robbie. So fast forward to 2 or 3 months ago, and they were a brack in at the museum down in Southampton. Some papers was tained that they related to the Intrepid's grounding and loss. You see, it was a Southampton company that owned her, and she was on her way to America with supplies for the Civil War there, and among it was this money. Now, why do you think was pinched on papers?" "No, either is this Carl and Malcolm. They're crooks. They've been catched afore bracken into places looking for information about lost gold and silver. In this bunch of papers was not just a list of what the ship was carrying, but they were an account of the disaster. Had this been written by one of the survivors that was bidden here for 20 weeks recovering for injuries. In fact, it was Archie that was saved them. But the ship's owners never got word of it, said they never followed up the story. So this Carl and Malcolm was using information they were pinched to try and get this treasure," Robbie said, hardly believing what he was hearing, and realising full lucky they were bound to get to it first. "That's right," the man said, "and it's thanks to you, bairns, that you found it right as them, for they would have just sold it and keep it all the money. Now, that brings me to a pity something that you might be interested in, you three." They looked at one another, at the policeman, and then Robbie and Kirsty looked at their mother. "There will be a reward for what you've found, and you can lop in a bra grain for it, what with it being so rare and being lost for that lang." They were nearly pestering with what they were hearing. "We're not sure how muckle it'll be yet, but I would think you'll no have to worry about holiday jobs for a lang time, only the three of you. But we'll be in touch afore lang and up you can." Then he raised again, the policeman away him. "But for now, we better leave you alone to tack this a' in and respect you a' soon. I would think the folk for the paper'll be along too, and maybe no just the local paper, for this'll draw interest nationwide." And with that, They said their cheerios and got out the door into the police car and set off up the road a clue store hunt them. They were at the window watching. When they were gone, Robbie and Kirsty's mother turned to them, gaffing and shaking her head. "Bairns, bairns, bairns, I just dinna ken quit the market at us. Will I mind about it for years to come? I wonder what you'll spend your reward money on when you get it," she asked them. Robbie and George looked at one another. Then Robbie said to his mother, "Well, we could do with 20 new creedles." They all gaffed for a start, and out the kitchen window, Robbie saw his father down up at the beach, hauling Dunter back up into the noose, the water dripping off of her oars.